Hi, I'm Craig Smith, a former New York Times correspondent and host of the podcast Eye on AI. I'm also a special government employee at the National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence. And in this role, I'm serving as the host for NSCAI's podcast series on the Commission's work. At the beginning of March this year, the Commission issued its final report to the President and Congress, outlining its recommended strategy for winning in the artificial intelligence era. This week, I spoke to NSCAI staff David Kumashiro, also known as Kumo, and Courtney Barno about the Commission's recommendations on democratizing AI for the warfighter and enabling bottom-up AI innovation. I hope you find the conversation as interesting as I did. Could we start by having you each introduce yourself to listeners, and then I'll ask some questions.
Craig, thanks for the opportunity. My name is Dave Kumashiro. I am in Line of Effort 2, which is the application of AI in national security missions and in defense. And so we're really focused on the DoD portfolio, as well as the applications in terms of warfighting concepts. Now comes the really heavy lift. Not just the rollout of the report and the contents, but the implementation and the execution of the plans. I'm a relatively late add to NSCAI. I joined in September of last year as I was retiring from the Air Force after 28 and a half years. Prior to that, I had been working our JADC2 portfolio. That's the Joint All-Domain Command and Control portfolio, literally this military Internet of Things and how you kind of build that together. I'm a pilot by trade, mainly in airlift aircraft, but also did a stint in Predator. That's the remotely piloted aircraft that the Air Force used to fly, no longer flies. With that, I'll turn it over to Courtney.
Thanks, Kumo. Craig, it's a pleasure to be on with you again. I'm Courtney Barno, a Director for Research and Analysis at NSCAI. With Kumo, really been focused on applying AI for national security missions across DoD. So what that's meant for the year I've been on the commission, at least, is that we're really looking to bubble up what the biggest roadblocks are to AI adoption, be they organizational, structural, a lot of them are technical or process roadblocks, and try to figure out how to make recommendations, really to start burning those down and ensure that we create an environment in DoD that is friendly to the attributes of artificial intelligence, maybe more broadly to digital technologies. And so that's really where our focus has been. Prior to joining the commission, I spent some time with the Defense Innovation Board in the Pentagon. So very, very fortunate to work with the likes of Dr. Schmidt and others who really led the first wave efforts in the department to really reform the acquisition process for software in particular. It was a part of the software acquisition and practices study that the Defense Innovation Board ran and came over after that to the commission, was excited to continue forward with a lot of similar reforms, really kind of reorienting the department towards a digital future.
Okay, so we're talking about democratizing AI for the warfighter. Can you explain what you mean by democratizing in this context?
Yeah, it's a good question, Craig. In reading our final report, what some will see is a tension that exists in our recommendations. And that's this tension between the need for top-down strategic leadership and direction and guidance, as well as bottom-up distributed innovation, bottom-up development. A key finding in our report was that the commission thinks that there's both a need for greater direction in the DoD, top-down direction that drives alignment and coordination in terms of what technologies, including AI and AI applications, that the department is pursuing and for what purpose. But we're quite clear that that top-down direction and strategic guidance really isn't going to be effective unless it's complemented by bottom-up innovation and a commitment to enabling that innovation. And so we make a variety of recommendations in the report around how you enable that bottom-up innovation. And so I think you could kind of bucket those recommendations in terms of enabling that bottom-up innovation into a few categories. The first is really that technical piece. We have to ensure that developers, users, researchers across the Department of Defense have access to modern infrastructure, whether that's cloud computing, distributed networks. We have to ensure that they have access to the software and the data to actually train AI algorithms. And we have to ensure that beyond the technical piece, they also have access to the right talent to do this development. And so we make recommendations to ensure that we're getting talent where it's most needed. And where it's most needed, we found, is forward with operators on the front lines, actually doing these missions day in and day out. And so one of the primary recommendations we make in that space is that each combatant command should have an AI delivery team. And so the purpose of that team would be to push that technical expertise forward and get warfighters and operators really sitting side by side, trying to solve issues and challenges that impact their ability to carry out their day-to-day missions.
Thanks, Courtney. And great rundown in terms of the criticality of bottom-up innovation. And it was something that our commissioners, particularly those from industry, really, really hit on hard, making the point that innovation will not be top-down. It will really come from the bottom up. With that being said, having worked over 12 years in the Pentagon and 5 separate assignments, I very much appreciate the need for top-down leadership in a bureaucracy and hierarchy like DOD. Very similar to the conclusions that our commissioners came to in terms of the structure of DOD, needing that top-down level strategic guidance and direction and oversight to make sure that the department is actually executing this digital transformation into AI-enabled warfare. So with that, in terms of the recommendations on this top-down leadership, was this focus on this steering committee on emerging technology that's tri-chaired by the Deputy Secretary of Defense, the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Principal Deputy for the Director of National Intelligence. So this body would not only help approve and develop the technical annex that accompanies the National Defense Strategy, but would also provide oversight on numerous other lines of effort with respect to the report recommendations, including the digital ecosystem, including experimentation and wargaming, and where we're applying some of the resources into AI-enabled technologies, as well as the prioritization of different efforts. Second was elevating the director of the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center in the Department of Defense to the Deputy Secretary of Defense. We're very, very fortunate that Congress took that recommendation and already placed it into legislation. So that effort is actually ongoing within DOD right now. Third, in the Department of Defense, the Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering is already designated the Chief Technology Officer for the Department of Defense. The commission came to the conclusion that in order to better synchronize the warfighter and the technologist, warfighting requirements with technology, it was imperative that you had a technologist in the warfighting requirements forum, particularly the senior oversight requirements forum, which is the Joint Requirements Oversight Council. That is currently chaired by the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and has membership of all of the service vice chiefs. The commission came to the recommendation that the CTO, the Chief Technology Officer, or in this case, the Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering, should be a co-chair of that oversight body, as well as the Chief Science Advisor. Really, again, making sure that the JROC itself has good visibility on where tech is going, number one, and that the technologists can ensure that the warfighting requirements are informed by the latest that technology has to offer. So those three leadership recommendations are really critical in the commission's eyes to drive the top-down leadership within the Department of Defense.
In what ways is this different from the way the department typically does business?
I can jump in and provide a little bit more color there. Craig, what we're really pushing for when we say democratized development is getting to providing enabling services and talent to get to distributed development of AI applications, right? So the recommendations we make in this area, both in terms of standing up those AI delivery teams at the combatant commands, pushing that talent forward, so that you have the potential to develop AI applications that are more relevant to what's going on out at the tactical edge, right? In addition, we recommend that the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center play this role as the department's AI accelerator. And what we mean by accelerator is really that the JAIC would be catalyst in enabling these distributed AI development efforts. And they would do that by providing resources. And those resources could be standards in government, subject matter expertise, policy advice, right? Acquisition contracting vehicles, things that are critical building blocks to get to enabling the services and combatant commands to be able to do this development on their own for their own mission sets. That is different from how the department is doing business now, because right now, while we have this kind of thousand flowers blooming across the department, there's this real lack of a modern, common, accessible digital infrastructure to one support all these efforts. There's also not enough talent to go around. We talk about this talent deficit quite frequently, right? And so two of the things that our recommendations do in this area is it's one, ensuring that we utilize scarce talent and get it where it's most needed. And two, ensuring that we're providing those resources in a common, accessible way and place so that they can be drawn upon, whether they're consumable services like compute or their standards and government subject matter expertise that the JAIC is providing, that the combatant commands can pick up the phone and say, hey, I need some advice on a particular application or TEVNV testing and evaluation for something that they're working on.
The only other thing that I would add is we're talking about speed here, and it's not just to accelerate this movement into AI. It's actually to recognize that the iterations that we're talking about are going to come much, much more frequently. And so to posture the department to be able to iterate with this technology versus saying, hey, we have this technology, we're good for 5-10 years. Craig, as you and many in the audience probably know, software and AI-enabled technologies just don't develop like that. They're not developed and delivered like that. It's continuous and it's constantly evolving. And so we have to make sure that the department is postured to really take on and adopt those technologies. One of the key themes in the report is this concept of an AI-ready DoD by 2025. And the definition is simply put, it's warfighters enabled with the baseline digital literacy and access to digital infrastructure. The two points that Courtney had alluded to prior required for ubiquitous AI integration and training exercises and operations with exercises and war games and experimentation. But again, it really links all of those together. They have to occur together in order to really adopt and operationalize AI. But fundamental to this is that, again, that adoption at the lowest levels, that democratization of AI across all echelons of the warfighter.
And can you talk a little bit more about the tactical edge? Because oftentimes it's the user that recognizes opportunities or needs, and how that then would feed back up through the system to get things done?
It's a really good question. So part of the recommendation that the commission makes to have these AI delivery teams at the combatant command is that you would have this team at combatant command headquarters. And a critical element of these teams would be that they have forward deployable components, almost like flyaway teams that can go sit with the mission owners out at the tactical edge. And that serves what you're alluding to, Craig, is it serves two purposes, having that side-by-side engagement. One, you're able to identify use cases you otherwise wouldn't because you're living that kind of day-to-day mission-focused operations, figuring out what the greatest challenges are, what might be ripe for AI integration. The second piece is that once you actually have the technical infrastructure and the talent in the right place to enable development, and you've done that use case identification, and you're potentially developing an application, what you're developing is going to have a lot more operational relevance. And so that increases the likelihood that, one, the application is actually going to do what you want it to do. You're able to tighten those feedback cycles between the actual developer and the user. And so you're actually able to get to impact quicker. And two, you're increasing trust in AI-enabled systems. So this is almost a form of human-machine teaming. And that's a critical barrier that the report identifies. There's a lack of understanding about how these machines, these algorithms function. And if you're doing that side-by-side development, you're simultaneously breaking down some of those adoption barriers as well.
Where is the edge? Are you talking about air operations centers, or are you talking about forward operation? What is it? A COB or a FOB?
Forward operating base, all of the above. And I'll speak out of both sides of my mouth here, but number one, the commission believes that AI will be ubiquitous across all aspects of military affairs, whether it be in warfighting platforms, whether it be in business applications like logistics and sustainment, whole host of things in terms of how AI will just be a part of our decision making across the board. With that being said, when we talk about the tactical edge, although we are talking about in many cases the forward edge, you know, tactical level units, squadron level, battalion level, and below, as you look at maybe supporting operations, you know, that tactical edge could be in an office somewhere, right? Versus like the forward edge of the battle. So we mean tactical edge, meaning where that user has the best understanding of where that application of AI can be useful in terms of driving some type of capability. And when I use the term capability, I'm not just talking about a kinetic effect. It can be in all of our sensor platforms, it can be in our business systems, but it's tying that user, that operator, that warfighter who knows the business of how AI could potentially help them, integrated or synchronized with the technologist, the developer that's actually going to do the coding, finding the data, making the technology or integrating that technology with our warfighting capability.
And does this require, in something like a forward operating base, a specialist being deployed there, or are you talking about providing a baseline of training to infantrymen in the field? Can you give me a concrete example of a warfighter using a system and then recognizing either a need or an improvement that they could then communicate back up the line? Is that a specialist, or is that just your average soldier?
It's going to depend. In general, I think where we are currently, the sense is that the warfighter or the operator will need to be paired with that technologist, that developer, the data scientist, the coder, to be able to really get that bang for the buck in terms of this AI-enabled capability. No doubt, as we move forward, there will be times when our warfighters, and we see it even now with some of the younger generations, have some good capability. They've learned how to code at a young age, et cetera. But in general, the department would need that pairing for the next few years to be able to move us forward into this arena.
We are talking about injecting specific expertise, technical expertise, and sending that where it's most needed. So whether that is the forward edge, like Kumo was talking about, or the tactical edge, wherever that may be. But we are simultaneously, and I know you've had the conversation with some of our colleagues about the commission's workforce recommendations related to military personnel. We're also trying to increase that baseline digital literacy. So I think it's those two things simultaneously. It's ensuring that you have folks with the data science background, with the algorithm development background, with a true understanding for how testing and evaluation, verification, validation interacts with AI. All of that needs to be present, but that doesn't mean that our soldiers out on the front lines shouldn't have a baseline digital literacy. Those two things are very much complementary.
Every Captain Kirk needs their Spock in terms of the operator, the warfighter, needing that really, really smart science advisor or technologist to say, Jim, you're really messing this up. To your point of what's next, we actually really have to just start acting now. We have to really just start getting at it. And within the report, the folks in the audience will see the recommendations for exercises and war games and tabletop exercises and experimentation. And so one of the strong recommendations that have held through some of the earlier quarterly recommendations from the commissioners is that AI should be integrated in every exercise, war game, and tabletop exercise that we have out there. And to Courtney's point, it's about the trust. It's about the trust in using AI in that warfighting environment. So by introducing AI early and often, you're going to get a better product, a more informed product, both on the technology side and then on the concepts and the tactics, techniques, and procedures that the warfighters. On the experimentation side, one of our recommendations is that we need to incentivize AI experimentation. And this point really gets to the fact that technology is constantly iterating, constantly developing. And so we need to bring that in very, very frequently at the early stages. Again, similar to what we're talking about with exercises and war games, to inform the warfighter and then for the warfighting concepts to help inform the technologist. Just to hit the point again, the synchronization between the warfighter and the technologist, the warfighting concept and the technology. And that's one of the critical themes that you'll find in Chapter 2 and Chapter 3.
There are really bright spots of progress across the enterprise with some of the concepts we're discussing here, especially this idea of pushing technical expertise forward and getting that pairing between the warfighter and the technologist. Army Special Operations Command, Army Futures Command, they both use a model known as tactical data teams, and they push artificial intelligence and machine learning expertise forward to the field in 3 to 6 person teams. And so they're executing this fairly successfully and really delivering workable applications and getting to mission impact very quickly by having these folks in the right place and side by side with operators in solving real-time operational problems. So this recommendation to have AI delivery teams at each combatant command with these 4 deployable components is really a way of standing on the shoulders of that good work that's already being done at Special Operations Command and Army Future Command, and really taking that to scale across the enterprise.
And when Dave said we need to start now, is the Defense Department in a position to start? I presumably start would mean wargaming. I know there have been some AI-enabled wargames, but how do you start?
Well, to your point, Craig, a lot of this work is ongoing. And, you know, one of the unique parts about the commission itself is the decision that the commissioners made early on with respect to the speed of which technology was developing, instead of one final report and releasing it, it was releasing these recommendations in tranches as the research and analysis was kind of coming up with conclusions that led to specific recommendations. With that being said, there are lots of pockets of innovation and efforts that are ongoing across the department, whether it be in war games or concept development or tech development, et cetera. So in terms of acting now, what I would say is really beginning this process of synchronizing the efforts, meaning that the department as a whole builds upon efforts that are ongoing, number one, across the services, also efforts that are going on in the commercial sector and industry, and leveraging some of the great work that's already been done and not feeling like you have to recreate that work. And so the challenges across that department, to Courtney's point, is we really need to be able to scale. And so in terms of the acting now, it's really that ability to not just appreciate and pat ourselves on the back that the Department of Defense has established these tactical data teams, but actually to scale that across the force, scale it through resourcing and prioritization and training.
A priority message I think to convey to the department, but also for your listeners, is getting started doesn't mean one big bang deployment of all of the recommendations that we've made here. What it really means is embracing this kind of agile mindset. Start small, you know, pick one combatant command that you're going to stand these up at and measure and learn and iterate quickly on what works. And when you found something that works, scale that across the enterprise. But it's about getting more reps, more cycles on some of these things, and really getting to that systems learning that Kumo is talking about. Too often we wait for the 100% solution. Our adversaries aren't waiting for the 100% solution. So we've got to shorten cycle times and get capability out faster. But we need to embrace that mindset from a policy perspective as well. We need to be rolling out policies, seeing what works, and then as they work, codifying them. But we need to experiment faster across the board.
Are there systems now deployed on the battlefield that integrate AI that you can talk about? I mean, there are active duty soldiers in Afghanistan still. Can you talk about what's out there and how these recommendations would change the activities of the soldiers on the ground?
Probably the best example within the Department of Defense, obviously, is Project Maven in terms of a large-scale effort of really bringing AI, ML, against some good data sets for the warfighter. There's some other programs like Jigsaw at the Combined Air Operations Center that are good operational use cases of AI for the warfighter. When we say the ubiquitous nature of AI, and this is a point that the commissioners hit on really, really hard, it's just going to be in every process, every system, every warfighting platform that we have out there. And again, to build on Courtney's point, the issue is just scaling that capability. So again, several examples, but unfortunately, we don't have enough of them. And I think many in the audience will understand some of the challenges with the department. Data is a huge, huge problem. Not only the technical piece of the data, which is actually probably the easier piece to solve, but really some of the policy that surrounds data in terms of classification, who owns that data, et cetera. So we really have to be aggressive on that point. Another recommendation that came from our commissioners, particularly from industry, they said don't wait, that the Secretary of Defense and the Department of Defense really needed to set some performance objectives now. So you'll see in the report by the end of 2021, the commission recommends setting key performance objectives for AI and digital readiness. We give some potential examples, particularly in logistics sustainment and workforce development, but it's really up to the department to define what those objectives are, but to set them by 2021 and continue to measure them, continue to drive outcomes as a result of these performance objectives. You'll also see that in terms of defining the architecture for a joint warfighting network, and that links back to this concept of Joint All Domain Command and Control, which is a focus area of the department right now. Again, these performance objectives to drive outcomes was a critical recommendation that came out from particularly our industry commissioners.
That's it for this week's podcast. I want to thank Courtney and Kumo for their time. I encourage everyone to read the National Security Commission on AI report, which can be found at www.nscai.gov. Regardless of how you feel about military uses of AI, it's critical that people involved in the field understand what the government is doing. The singularity may not be near, but AI is about to change your world. So pay attention.